Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, we want to welcome everybody to the Transformation Cafe. I am your host, Robin Misevich, and we just have all kinds of beautiful ladies scooting up to the table tonight because it's book two in our cafe book club. Woohoo! We're so excited about getting that all going. We are doing the book Presence by Amy Cuddy, and we have my regular co-host, Miss Amy. She's a change agent and just really helps people to tap into their creativity in ways they had never even thought about, and so glad to have her joining me. Hey, Amy, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. I am trying to be present.
You're trying to be present? Okay, well, all the rest of us can keep her accountable. Okay, you guys heard her. She's trying to be present, so let's make sure that she's going. And Miss Michelle is once again visiting us tonight. Miss Michelle! I think Michelle is really, she's just become a real fan of the Cafe Book Club, and I think we're just going to be having her through this whole thing. She's going to be present with our presence, right?
Hi, everybody.
Yeah. It's great to have you joining us. Yeah, and we have Miss Vicki joining us tonight. Vicki, how are you tonight?
I'm wonderful.
It's great for you to have us. She is a newbie to our their whole radio show and then the Cafe Book Club. So she just got the book, so I'm excited for that. Actually, you got it on audio, right?
I got it on audio, and I need both ways because I have some challenges. So I need it both ways. So when I listen to it over and over, I can get it in there.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? And I actually like it both ways, too, because when you're driving around, you actually can kind of take it into you're hearing it in a different way. I think it kind of just opens you up and helps that. And then being able to look at it, it is also really helpful. And Dr. Kim's with us tonight. Hey, Dr. Kim.
Hey, from Saratoga Springs, New York, where we have beautiful snow.
Yay! So did you automatically bring out, you know, your kind of a late, you know, late Christmas songs, right? Hoping it would have happened about 3 weeks ago, but that's okay. You're like, you know, hey, it's still a winter wonderland, right?
It's a winter wonderland.
Winter wonderland. And we have another caller. Last four numbers are 2427. Hey, caller.
Gosh, I wonder who that could be.
Yes, I wonder who that could be. Who is this?
It's Gloria.
Oh, Gloria, I am so sorry. Why did I do that number? So, Miss Gloria, one of our regular diners, again, she is joining us tonight. So, hey, ladies, I just want to thank you all for jumping on the call. It's going to be a very, very great call. So, again, we're doing the Cafe Book Club. We're doing Presence by Amy Cuddy. And one thing I wanted to bring up was we talked about it on our last show, which is 285. If you go back to the transformation-cafe.com, we had our last show. And we were kind of doing a little bit of an intro to what this whole book is about. And one thing that's really cool about what happened to Amy Cuddy was she had done a TED Talk over this research that she's done about presence and really had to do from body stance and how that actually can change your energy and your physical mood with everything that's going on for yourself and empowering you. If you take like a Superman pose, it can actually change you within 2 minutes if you hold that pose. And that was just a small taste of what this book is all about. So right off the bat, Amy, I just wanted to get your impressions about that. One thing that I really like as we kind of go into this is that Amy Cuddy really goes out of her way not to really define presence right away, and she's got all kinds of people that she had emailed and just said, what do you think is presence? And as we go through the book, we're going to be using some of the different things that she had found out from just these emails and just inquiring from people all over the world what they thought were presence. So what did you think, Amy?
Well, for me, we had talked about this a little bit earlier about actually the taking a stance that made you feel powerful. And for me, as I worked for the federal government for 20 years, and there were plenty of times when I had to have a strong presence as a woman in a man's world, building missiles for a living. So I don't know how it started, but when I felt like I needed to be powerful, I would take a Peter Pan stance, you know, straight up and hands behind your back and really like I really knew what the heck I was doing. And people fell for it, and even I fell for it. So I don't know how it started, but I know it worked. So I think there is something to taking a physical stance that does show a presence. And so kind of diving into the book real quick, something I wanted to bring up here on page 13, on the very beginning of the chapter, what is presence? Amy cites a Walt Whitman quote, "We convince by our presence." There's another quote that I've never been able to find the exact words, but it says something like, "Who you are being, speak so loudly, I cannot hear what you are saying."
Yeah, we should figure out who said that. I bet if you Googled it, it would pop up. It would say who did it. So, and one thing that I really loved when she starts just the first chapter, she said, "We know it when we feel it. We know it when we see it. The presence is hard to define." And that really goes into what I'm talking about with just all the different ways that she had talked about, really being inquisitive about it and asking people, what is presence to you? So what did you think, Michelle?
Well, presence to me is being fully in my body as I go through an experience. That's what I usually think of. And I usually define presence kind of along the terms of mindfulness.
This is a book that really goes into being centered and being mindful as a part of presence. I think that's a big...
Yeah, but she actually in the chapter says, that gives the definition of presence according to mindfulness practices and steers us away from that definition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can really just kind of ask yourself and be thinking about that, I think, as you're reading the chapter and just getting into the book itself. Instead of just assuming.
Yeah, how do I define presence is a very good question.
So the opposite of powerlessness must be power, right? In a sense, that's true, but it's not quite that simple. She said the research she's been doing for years joins a large body of inquiry into a quality she calls presence. Presence stems from believing in and trusting yourself, your real, honest feelings, values, and abilities. That's important because if you don't trust yourself, how can you trust others? Whether we are talking in front of 2 people or 5,000, interviewing for a job, negotiating for a raise, or pitching a business idea to a potential investor, speaking up for ourselves or speaking up for someone else, we are all faced with daunting moments that we must meet with poise if we want to feel good about ourselves and make progress in our lives. Presence gives us the power to rise to these moments. And I just thought that was really great, the way that she had, put that together. So what did you think about that, Vicki?
I just went and got my book because I had it downstairs. And I was like, at first I was going, well, how? Because this is my first time on this podcast. And I'm going, oh, no, I'm going to have to leave my phone and go downstairs. And it's like, oh, yeah, I can take my phone with me. I know.
Modern technology is a wonderful thing.
With this... you know what? I heard what you just said, sort of, but I was wanting to see if, because I was wanting to comment on that elevator speech, and I'm not sure if that's in that first chapter.
Yeah, we could. Let's set it up a little bit so people know what we're talking about. Amy Cuddy had an opportunity to, she had become a grad student, and she'd been doing all this training in psychology, and she wound up having 3 of these people that are well-known in her field all be in an elevator with her at the same time. And it was such an opportunity for her to be able to just say something that was just profound and really get connected to these people, and she just was tongue-tied, and it just didn't happen. And then, as soon as she left the elevator, she realizes what she could have said. So it's that whole thing. She had a really good name for that. What was the name of that? So it was called, elevator. She called it elevator wit. you've got to be witty in an elevator and have a one-liner. Yeah, the one-liner kind of thing. Yeah, because she even goes back to talk about an 18th century philosopher and how he had been tongue-tied, when he was known for being able to be quick-witted, and he had been in a party and it just didn't work out very well. And, of course, he leaves the party and goes down some stairs and it pops into his head of what he could have said. So what were you thinking about that, Vicki?
you know what? On that particular page, I just put all kinds of notes all over the place because, Robin, as you know, I have a learning what it would be called a learning disability. But when I read this, I really, really realized that it's an issue for sure, but it's a learned issue. It's not a learning disability. It's something that I learned when I was a very, very young child. And this looping thing where she was talking about how, you know, your ideas loop and loop and they're like, oh my gosh, I can't do this, I can't, you know, and you're not being present. And so when I read through that, I was thinking about our networking meeting yesterday and learning how to do the elevator speech. And as it was going around the circle, all I was thinking was, oh my gosh, I'm going to do so horrible at this. I can't remember the questions. I can't, you know. And so I was taking myself out of the whole, like really knowing what these women were talking about because I was so not in my body. And it was like, and I realized that I do that so often. You know, I beat myself up from behind or from forward, you know, and I'm not like being there now. And so I was like really encouraged. I thought, wow, if I learn this by ways that I was raised, if I learn this, I can unlearn it, you know. So
exactly.
And learn how to be more present. So I was really excited about that.
Yay, that's exciting. Well, you know, because it's just, you know, it's a matter of the awareness of something so I can change it. As soon as I'm aware that there's that possibility of me doing it in a different way, then you totally can. Uh-huh. It's just a matter of coming from awareness. So I want to back up for just a second. So just in case anybody's wondering, like, what's an elevator speech? in business, you know, if you're wanting to promote yourself, you know, sometimes you only have 30 seconds to be able to tell people what you do and how to be able to promote yourself. So my Good Seeds Network just started. We were talking about that a couple shows ago away. There's a women's network here in the Riverside and Corona, California area. And it went really great. Vicki was one of the people. Michelle was also was there. And we just had a really great time. And we were we're talking about the basics of elevator speeches. So kind of going into that, I was going to go to page 18, which is Alan Watts had written a book called The Wisdom of Insecurity. And it really goes along with what Vicki was talking about. He said, to understand music, you must listen to it. But not so long as you were thinking, I am listening to this music. You were not listening. When you are in a job interview thinking, I'm in a job interview, you can't understand or engage fully into the interviewer or present with yourself because you're just looking about, you know, are you being your truest, sharpest, boldest, and most relaxed self? So he goes on to talk about, you know, being anxiety-laced with anticipation. You're really not present with what's really happening to you. So, again, that book is called The Wisdom of Insecurity by Alan Watts. So it really goes into what you were just talking about. I'm like, my head's spinning and thinking about stuff, so I'm not really present to what's right here in front of me. So, Amy, what do you think about that?
Well, I kind of want to bring Kim into the conversation a minute. She and I were talking this morning about being present, and something that occurred to us that kept us from being present is when we live in regret. Kim, did you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. You know, I'm going through a difficult time in my personal life, and I can look back on some choices that I've made and as I was sharing with Amy earlier, have some regret about those. And my question was, what do I do with this regret? What do I do? Because it's draining my energy. And in the conversation with Amy, I realized it's impossible, as Amy said, to be experiencing regret and being in the present moment at the same time, because regret is past-based. And actually, I live very near a lake, and I can look out and see the snow on the lake. And so I did this process of my higher power self walking my regrets out to the lake and letting them, you know, fall through the ice. So I can leave them there, and it allows me to be much more free and present in the moment. So I found that really quite, quite helpful. Thanks, Seema.
That's great. That's really, really awesome. So, you know, one thing that Amy Cuddy always is really talking about is just those different ways that we can, just like you know, Dr. Kim, thank you so much for sharing that. That's really awesome. But just, you know, everybody's got a way of being present with themselves, and it can be even more in every moment, I think. So it's just allowing yourself to realize, you know, where am I now and where do I want to be? And in the last couple of shows, we've talked about, you know, writing letters to your future self, working with futuring and putting things into collages and things like that with vision boards and stuff like that. So just that's another reason why we thought this book would be just such a great another perspective in being able to look at, you know, where am I now and what do I want to be having for what is present and what's presence for me. So there's, like she said, presence in the next 5 minutes. These are some of the quotes that people were sending to her. She said, presence is removing judgment, walls, and masks so as to create a true and deeper connection with people and experiences. Presence is loving people around you and enjoying what you do for them. Presence is being myself and keeping confident whatever happens. I thought all of those were just really, really great. And just like,
really,
you know, Michelle was talking about, yeah, it's really coming from, there's a bunch of research they had done on one of her grad students had found some research that they were doing with investors who were looking at potential businesses that they were going to invest in, and they had all these people that they were interviewing. And the key things that they found that were really important for people is, did they come off as being confident with themselves? Were they comfortable with themselves? And did they have a passionate enthusiasm about what they were doing? And anything else, what they found was, is with those three different dynamics, that's you being as authentic as you possibly can. Because even if you're nervous, there's a nervousness because you're excited about it and you're sharing it with somebody for the first time. So anxiousness wasn't really, or being nervous wasn't necessarily something that they had thought would be a detriment to their being able to have people really get them. It's how you invested in what you're talking about and wanting to be able to move that into the world and looking for someone to help you to do that. So I thought that was just really an interesting whole thing that starts on page 19 with the elements of presence and goes into just really breaking, and it really just breaks each of those different things down with some of the things that they, because they videoed a whole bunch of people. I think it was 185 videos that they had done of all these potential businesses that were talking to people who were investors. So what did you think of that whole experiment and just the insights from that, Amy?
Yeah, when I work with a lot of people with their elevator pitches and helping them to envision themselves in being confident and being comfortable and being passionate, I think it helps you to get in that space. And I know when people feel like you believe what you're saying and that you have the confidence in it, it exponentially gets them in that same place. So it is very powerful. It's very magnetic. And I really feel like being able to, you know, take the stance is another way to really, it's kind of a visual, a kinesthetic visualness, right? If you're taking a stance and you're doing role playing, that's all visualization in a physical form.
Yeah.
Well,
one thing
I had the experience when I was planning the joyful receiving gift exchange, that when I verbally told people about it versus handing them a flyer and letting them read it, there was a completely different response, because I am so passionate and so amazed at the idea that people responded differently when I described it to them.
Yeah, I think that's true. I know Vicki has this wonderful, she has Jade Treasures, and she personally makes all this custom jewelry that always has a message that goes with it. And, you know, Vicki, whenever you're describing that to somebody and showing them the actual product and what the love and the amount of really heartfelt intention that you put into those things, everybody is just like, well, yeah, why wouldn't I want that? Because you're really putting your heart and your energy into it. So do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, you know, I used to not be able to open my mouth at all. My husband did all my talking for me because I am so worried about forgetting what I'm saying, you know. What they call it in my special ed class, because I worked with special ed kids, is auditory and visual processing disorder. But so oftentimes I would, you know, like if you're talking to me, I just blank out. And so basically I kept quiet for a very long time. But this particular thing I'm very passionate about. Now, when I get into an area where I'm not sure of, I blank out. And so I had to be okay with letting other people see me blank out. And so that's why when she was talking about that whole elevator speech and that whole thing, I totally could understand, you know, because when she was talking about how, you know, you're thinking ahead of time, you're thinking, you know, you're going, oh my gosh, I'm not going to do this well. I always mess up on this. This is not a good thing. But slowly, you know, in the last 8 years, I've started talking, and slowly and slowly and slowly, I feel like I'm becoming more confident. So, but I see that this book has so many keys and so many opportunities for me to grow, and I'm really excited about it. So I want to get that whole, you know, I love my business. I love what I do. I'm passionate about it. I want to be able to speak it out, you know, without.
Oh, you're doing it already. Yeah, you're doing it already.
Losing
just like
my
learning
mind.
To be able to sit out.
But, you know, when somebody was talking and they said, it crossed my mind, you know, I want to connect with people soul to soul rather than role to role. And I love that. I really, really love that.
Yeah,
you know.
I think that's really good, too. And I think it goes back to just really being present. You're present with each person as you're talking about it and being with that. And I think that's just a new model for being an entrepreneur about what you do and why you do it. I was at one of my other networks this morning, and the guest speaker was talking about that. He said, can you imagine yourself not doing what you do? You know, and he said, that's when you know, like, there's just no way I can't have that in my life because it's so much a part of who I am. I could not do it. You know, with that is that a whole dynamic of like, it's part of who I am. So it's like breathing for me. I totally have to do it as part of who I am. So that reminds me of a really neat, a lady that had shared with Amy Cuddy. Her name was Tina. She was a New Orleans native who wrote and told her about that she was a high school dropout and it had impeded her. She said, not only by limiting her access to the stable, well-paying work, but also the undermining of her feeling that she deserved to have those things. She worked many jobs, many hours a day for many years. And at the age of 34, she finally graduated from college. She then slowly taught herself through the small incremental changes to treat even the most difficult interactions as opportunities for herself to reveal what she was capable of and to express her worthiness. And then Amy says, imagine that. That sounds like presence. And I totally thought that was an awesome thing when she shared that about, you know, what is it for my sense? It's like, just like you're saying, Vicki, it's like I'm moving through those things, even though they might be difficult. I know that I'm capable and I can express my worthiness. And I think everybody, I mean, I always think that, you know, they just want to be seen and heard. And that's a part of being worthy. So, you know, it's what is presence? Presence is really seeing my worthiness and also seeing your worthiness.
Can I say something? It's Michelle.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, Michelle.
Recently, I wanted to ask someone for a job. And my the way that I went in was in curiosity. I was curious to see who I could be when I presented myself to this person to ask them for work. And in doing so, just to use it as an opportunity to learn more about who I was, just as this woman said, when I went in with just a curiosity of who am I and how will I be in that moment, it relieved me of the anxiety. Because I wasn't attached to the outcome of whether or not she would say yes. I was more curious to see who I could be. What was the best person that I could be in that moment? That
That's
really,
awesome.
I was really claiming my presence in that moment.
Yeah, you totally were. And I really, you know, we want to go back to our last book that we've done was Big Magic. And just the fact that you were coming from a place of curiosity. And Elizabeth Gilbert talks about that a lot in Big Magic about, you know, that really leads you into the next thing when you're just in a wonder or a curious place of like, you know, what would happen? And not being afraid of failure, but just realizing I'm just going to see what happens and really let go of the expectations and allow yourself to just be with that. That was a really great, and in page 26 when she talks about presence, she said, there will always be new challenges, new uncomfortable situations, new roles, things that push us off balance and stroke our anxiety, forcing us to re-examine who we are and how we can connect with others. To be present, we have to treat these challenges as moments. I thought that was a great line. And to be present, we have to treat these challenges as moments. Presence is not all or nothing. Sometimes we lose it and we have to start again, and that's okay. Mm. I thought that was great. Yeah, because it's always that coming from, and we talked about that when we did the elevator speeches. I said, you know, come to some place where you have safe people around you where you can practice. It's a small group of people that they're all there for the same reason, and they're just fine-tuning what they do. So it really helps you to come from a place of being able to just walk through that, knowing that that's okay. I'm going to regroup and try to do it again. So I think that's just really awesome with that. So what do you think of that, Amy?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very powerful. And what I wanted to go to page 24, where she outlines what she means by presence. I want to kind of state that. She says, presence, as I mean it through these pages, is the state of being attuned to and able to comfortably express our true thoughts, feelings, values, and potential. And like if you've already been seeing these different examples, Michelle and through our dialogue, and Vicki, how we're doing that. And I really love the soul to soul, not just role to role. I love that. And that's how do we express that in the world? And I like the challenge that came forward at the very beginning about what is your definition of presence? And so people going to the website there and putting down what is their definition of presence. I think that would be a really fun thing with everybody that's coming to the table. We can start bouncing those back and forth.
Hmm. Yeah, if you go to our the transformation. Yeah, just a second. If you go to transformation-cafe.com, we actually have our forum. Love for you guys to go ahead and sign up and just, you know, go ahead and like Amy's saying, go ahead and say, you know, define what presence is for you. So go ahead.
Yeah, this is Dr. Kim. I'm an online professor, and part of my strength is being able to be present with my students, even though I've never met them, and for most cases, never see them.
Mm.
So my strength comes from being able to speak to them and write to them with an integration of my heart, my spirit, my mind, and my body. So I've developed this skill from a gift of integrating those such that my students have the experience of me being right there with them. And that's often the feedback I get in my, you know, course surveys. It's just like, Dr. Kim was right there with us. And so presence isn't always the physicalness that we think of, our stance, or how we look, or our image, or any of that. But it really can be what we can convey to others and how we speak to them, the words that we choose, and whether we're being congruent and integrated, mind, heart, body, and spirit all together is very, very powerful.
Well, that's how they tell someone's lying, is when they're incongruent.
Mm-hmm.
In this research in the book.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a wonderful thing. Because to me, when she defines presence, I've always called that authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never heard it called presence before. I've always heard it called authenticity.
Mm. So it's going to be a fun dialogue playing with this the next few weeks.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. Because like one of the things, you guys are such great little segueers. I'm just like, yeah, I'm not going to talk about it. You just start talking about it. One of the other shares was, when all my senses are in alignment, and I am one, and everything is in alignment at the same time. That's what they said. That's what presence was, when all their senses were in just alignment with one another. And I thought that was really a perfect definition, too. So thanks, Dr. Kim, for really talking about that. Yeah, because we think of it as just maybe physical, or we think of it as it's, because when I was reading this, I was thinking about feeling centered and when I come from a centered place, when everything seems to be in alignment, that's when I am fully present. It's like, to me, it's like going out in the forest and you're just walking very slowly, maybe having a walking meditation or something like that, and everything is so alive. You're listening and you're smelling and you're just engaged with everything around you, and there's just such a presence. You're present and it's present with you. And it's just, it goes really beyond words when you have all that happen. So, like always, you know, 30 minutes goes super, super fast, girls. So I want to let everybody know that our next chapter is going to be about your story. And it's very, very exciting. It's, the next chapter is called Believing and Owning Your Own Story. And Amy Cuddy goes in to say, the wish to feel and be seen as being authentic. So here we're talking about authentic, and it's moving into the next chapter. So it's really being present is the inner self showing up. So that's going to be our next chapter. So I think it's just going to be wonderful to continue the conversation. And, again, it's not just a TED Talk of thinking we're standing in a Supergirl pose and being able to be fully present and empowered, although that's been a very important and just a dynamic way that Amy Cuddy really had jumped into writing this book. So thank you, ladies, for joining us tonight. And we
thank
look forward
you.
To our next Cafe Book Club. And I want to encourage everybody to go to transformation-cafe.com. You give us a couple days, and we'll have the show up for everybody. And go into the forum and let us know what you think is present. And we'll see you next time here when we'll be talking about believing our own story. See you next week. Thanks for joining us.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.